This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Paulina and Julian Hernandez share three generations of creative culinary expression of the popsicle through a mind-blowing palette of the classic treat at their La Ola Pop Shop. From a killer Mexican vanilla to banana, pistachio, coffee with Oreos and almond, and a classic horchata, that's just a teaser of the unique Pop Shop's delectable treats that evolved from Paulina's grandfather's favorite paleteros and heladeros in old Mexico. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me and associate producer Randy Hare at the La Ola Pop Shop in Kyle, Texas, for a visit with Paulina and Julian to learn the backstory and their vision for the future.
Oh, that San Antonio Rose, yeah!
Here we are in Kyle, Texas, La Ola Pop Shop.
Julian Hernandez?
Paulina Hernandez.
You guys invented this? You came up with the name and the concept?
We did. The idea started around 2016. We were trying to come up with a name that was different than most Mexican ice cream shops. They have a traditional style they go with. We wanted to do something different. So it would be inviting to not just the Hispanic crowd, but just everybody.
If you're from Mexico or Central America, you totally get it, and you're looking for it.
Right.
But an Anglo in Texas, might not be on their radar. So right. you have a mission to kind of expand that awareness, right?
Yes, yes. I think we achieved that by just switching the word of the paleteria word. We removed that, added Pop Shop. We also incorporated the popsicle onto the logo, and then immediately people are like, well, that must be. And we put a lot of thought into how we wanted to bring people together.
So there's a real culinary art to the popsicle that you guys make. It's very much gourmet, a broad breadth of flavors. Tell us about where that came from, and did you model some of that off of what happens historically in Central and South America?
My dad, my brother, they gave me their original recipes from our grandpa, my dad's dad, and I modified some of them.
Mm-hmm. Where did your family come
from? In Mexico.
Whereabouts? Central?
Central Mexico, uh-huh. Aguascalientes. But my dad was born in Michoacán in a little town called Tocumbo. And that's where they invented the popsicles.
That's where they originated.
And they were one of the first ones who got out of the little town, mm-hmm. went to Mexico City, started making there, selling there. And then after Mexico City, they moved to Aguascalientes. And my dad opened a few pop shops in Aguascalientes. I kept most of the original recipes from them, but I also started experimenting with new flavors. We hear people. We want to know what they want to try, if there's some special ice cream that they've tried when they were little. And we always ask, and we try to be involved with them and have feedback, because they're the ones that they're going to come and buy.
Mm-hmm. Consumers want.
Follow the lead, yeah.
Yes.
Back in the day, what was the iconic flavor? Was there one that was dominant?
In Mexico or with us?
In Mexico, way back.
I think there's some classics that are never going to go away.
Uh-huh. Pistachio.
That were there from the beginning. That's one of them.
Pecan. Pecan, it's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Lime coconut.
Also, the coconut, regular coconut, the strawberry, and of course the vanilla, Mexican vanilla.
Of course, in Mexico, they don't call it Mexican vanilla.
The real vanilla.
The real vanilla.
Yeah. We tell people, oh, yeah, try this Mexican vanilla. Like, ooh, you know. But down there, it's just vanilla.
That's funny.
Mexican Coke.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we do floats with Mexican Coke and our vanilla ice cream. Yeah.
So in your grand plan, your scheme would be to replicate this retail location and have more?
I think so. Long term.
Could it be a franchise?
I don't know if we would want to do franchise. People start doing their own thing at some point or another, and if you don't stay on top of it, they just start doing their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like right now, we're sort of like a destination for people to, we're going down to Kyle to that little ice cream shop. When something's good, people will drive, right?
Right.
People come from San Antonio, from all over Austin. Areas like Pflugerville, which is in North Austin, they get here and like, hey, I got to take a bunch of these back with me. Are they going to melt or anything? So that's how I know they're traveling for this. Or I'll ask them straight up, hey, where are you traveling? If I don't recognize them. But the idea would be to maybe eventually grow into a couple of stores.
So today, what is your number one most popular ice cream that people ask?
I wish it was pecan pistachio, but no, it's not. It's a Cookie Monster.
Yeah, everybody, adults, kids, everybody.
Yeah, it's Oreos with chocolate chips Ahoy.
And then we put like a vanilla base and then with some blue dye.
They love it.
Yeah. It's who doesn't like cookies with ice cream,
Well, on Cookie Monster.
Right. Yeah.
We all grew up with Cookie Monster.
That's right, yeah.
So it follows that it's a real family-driven business in that most of your clientele come with kids and mom and dad, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's also, they bring their parents, older generations, and when I see that it fills my heart more, even more, because when you get older, you get a little bit more picky, and for them to come here and they love our ice cream, that means a lot for both of us.
The older generation gets as happy as the young kids when, like, here's your scoop, ma'am, or whatever. Yeah, I can see it.
Really
that's,
cool.
That's what makes us what makes us get up and do this every day.
Ageless and timeless, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about the breadth of your flavors, profiles, and the different ice creams that you would like to see grow and that you've gotten good response from the people.
Like we pointed out one earlier when we were in there, we pointed out, for example, the keto popsicle, which is a sugar-free one. That's something that not a lot of ice cream shops are going to do, but there's so many people that are either diabetic or for whatever reason they can't have sugar or they're dieting. I would like to see that progress and more of a staple.
Didn't I see a vegan sign in there too?
Our vegan freezer is anything that doesn't have any dairy or animal product. We do have a full freezer of that. What, 20?
14 to 18 different flavors, vegan, dairy free. One of our most popular, it's our mango sorbet too. That one.
Year round. It could be 37 degrees and people come in for mango. So, some of the things that I'd like to see take the next step is it's doing well, but in the beginning when we first opened up 4 years ago, it was we were selling a lot more ice cream because that's what most people were familiar with.
Right. Scoops.
And now I think popsicles is the top selling item.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So learning curve and familiarity.
Yeah, and
And I think our logo helps because it has a popsicle. In our older shop, we didn't have any
logo.
But now with the logo, people come in thinking, oh, it's a popsicle. I'm going to get a popsicle. They make their mind and brought more popsicles now.
Did you design it?
No, we hired a lady. She's in Austin, and she does tons of logos in all around Austin. She's very known. And we did it like a year before we even opened.
Yeah, we were just like, well, without the logo, we can't start anything. Let's get the brand going. We sat down with her for about an hour and went over some ideas. She gives three options, and we ultimately went with that one. People seem to love it. So.
Yeah.
Brand identification, huh?
Yeah.
Get your mind associating.
Yes.
Yeah. You make and blend and freeze everything here in a commercial kitchen?
Yes, sir. We get here early. The hardest part is to peel all the fruit, cut all the fruit for the, that's our main, which is cut, peel, blend, and start making our ice creams with our ice cream molds, our popsicles, popsicle molds. And when they're ready, we just bag them one by one. Yeah, it's a whole process.
And then looking at some of your collateral, there was like pepper, flavorful, zesty. Tell us about some of those.
We've made one.
A few
with serranos, chile serrano, and it was a hit. It was the we called it the Acapulco Gold.
Yeah, that one was pineapple, mango, mm-hmm. and blended serranos in there
mm-hmm. with a little bit of sea salt.
A little sea salt, yeah, it was a little popular. And the other one that I like and still miss, it was blackberries with cream cheese and serrano pepper. That was pretty good. It just had enough heat, and then it was just sweet enough. Yeah, it was
kind of balanced, perfect balance.
But yeah. And also, we also had the mango tahin and chamoy, the popsicle, and also the ice cream, and that has the tahin is a chili powder.
It's fruit seasoning.
It's a tangy, sour, salty, little bit of spicy, and we just mix it with our mango, and that's one of the most popular ones, too.
So does it follow that anytime a family comes back, there's going to be something new and different?
We try to change a few flavors. I don't try to change a lot because a lot of people come and get the same
thing
every time.
They're expecting it,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I just kind of switch it around. Like summer, I put more like strawberry lemonade, stuff like that. I try to switch more for like a winter flavor.
Mm-hmm. Try the chai lattes, stuff like that. She's mm-hmm. even made eggnog ice cream just to go with the season.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in Kyle, Texas. How far to San Marcos and to Austin and San Antonio?
Well, I can't really tell time-wise anymore because the traffic is crazy.
Right, just a mile.
Mileage, San Marcos is about 7 miles south of here. Austin, if you wanted to go to downtown, is about 25 miles from here. San Antonio, I would say that's about 60 or 70 miles to the center of town.
And you're right off of Interstate 35. So
yeah.
Anybody heading north or south,
yeah.
an easy detour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people from North Austin, they go to San Antonio and they always come and say, oh, we're on our way to San Antonio,
yeah.
so we want to stop, or we're going to go tubing in San Marcos. They want to grab some and
this
then go.
Is the place to be before.
You guys do catering, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. So what's the process there? You're talking about all these customers who are asking if it melts on their way home and everything. Like, how much of a ordeal is it to get?
First, it was a little bit tricky because I wanted to do it. I wanted to be in charge of, like, everything was going to be perfect and the flowers on top of the catering cart. But the cart was so heavy that I told Julian, I was like, you know what? I tried, I wanted to make it work, but I won't be able to do it myself. So he's the one doing it now.
Uh-huh.
But we have a cart,
It's not necessarily like a street vending cart. It's a cart that has a cooling
system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we plug it in overnight, and it keeps our product frozen for a good 8 hours or so. We can probably fit about 600 popsicles in there if we wanted to. I just did an event for Texas State University in San Marcos. That was, I think, 400 popsicles. They were gone in 30 minutes.
Yeah, so he does all the caterings now. And it's very easy. I pre-make everything, call the popsicles, have them ready. He comes, pick them up, put them in the cart, and he takes off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what Polina was saying earlier, if she wanted to do everything, it definitely would be nice to have that feminine touch for, mm-hmm. you know, the arrangements and stuff. I just show up and it's kind of like, here's the menu.
Yeah.
How are you? What flavor do you want? So definitely wish it had a little bit more of a feminine, especially for wedding. But no, it works. People love it.
Randy here.
Serrano stuck out to me. I love it. I love it in guacamole. I always go to market and I get one pepper and then I like make a whole thing with it. But I'm trying to process how to put that
popsicle.
In a popsicle. I'm sure it's good. I'm looking for it. Maybe I can try it. But what is your most popular serrano, your alternative flavor, you know what I mean? Like that isn't really found other places, but people seem to love.
The Acapulco Gold.
That one was pretty popular. People still ask for it, which was pineapple, mango, and serranos. Stuff that we carry year-round, I would say maybe our reggae popsicle. So we're big reggae fans. And when we started this, we had the idea to make a popsicle that was kiwi on the top, and then another layer of mango in the middle, and then strawberry on the bottom. So it just forms kind of like like a reggae color flag. I don't think that's something you're gonna find. It's not that it's hard to make or unique to us, but most people don't want to go through the trouble. It's kind of labor intensive, and that is one of our best sellers since day one.
So you have reggae. So do you do anything? I was immediately thinking maybe hate to say it, but there's might be a holiday where that might be more popular, stuff like that. Do you ever have any theme? Like, there's a donut shop by us that on May 4th they always do in SLO. They always do May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day, and they have stormtrooper themed donuts and everything. Yeah. Do you ever do themes or?
She does.
Yeah,
I don't do the May 4th, but I do 4th of July, the colors of our flag. We also. On holidays, I do the Grinch. It's a really popular. And it's of course green, and all the kids and adults they get it. That's the one.
She's made what is that cake called? The red velvet.
The
made that for Valentine's.
Valentine's.
So we do try to take into consideration the holidays and see if we can do something with that. I think we should focus also on maybe St. Patty's Day or something.
Yeah.
Because we've done stuff before on Cinco de Mayo. The cool thing I think about working with ice cream and fruits and stuff, you can do whatever you want. And if it doesn't work, move on to the next flavor. You know, not everything's been a hit. I grew up with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I told her, you got to make some cinnamon. It did not work out. Yeah. It got, the cereal got soggy. Because she replaced the Cinnamon Toast Crunch with, we were selling Fruity Pebbles ice cream.
That one did well.
Because it kind of retains.
Yeah, but when the Cinnamon Toast Crunch came in, it kind of bombed. So not everything we do is a hit.
Maybe Cinnamon Toast Crunch inspired, the essence of.
Yeah.
Have you ever done horchata or anything?
We have horchata.
Ooh.
That's
we have
one
that right
of
now.
Our best.
Yeah.
That came to mind. I'm like, wait.
It's a staple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the process of coming out? So, holidays or things going on inspire you, but what about when you're just I want to try one based off my favorite cereal, or how do you keep coming up with new stuff?
While I'm making stuff, it comes. And with my assistant, I'm like, okay, remember this, because I need to finish this, and then just remember it. And then I go back and I ask her, and she's like, yeah, it was this and that. I was like, what do you think? I always ask her, and she's like, maybe, let's try it. And that's how it comes. My ideas come more when I'm there and I'm focusing and I'm making I'm on a roll. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes when I'm in the shower, most of my ideas come there too, flavorings. We've tried a few, and like you said, not all of them are a hit. But we also see how they sell. I keep them there for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and if I see that they don't pick up, I take it out.
Yeah. Do you have any good ideas from customers that come in?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, like the blackberry cream cheese serrano, that was from a customer. Mm-hmm. We tried it and she loved it.
Sometimes they give us some crazy ideas.
Yeah.
We'll consider it. But
but we always try to, if it sounds logical and it might work, flavors combining them, we give it a try. We had an employee, he's from Hawaii. And he gave us the idea. I was like, oh, you guys should do a POG. I don't know if you guys are familiar. It's passion fruit, orange juice, and guava. And I'm like, I told him, it sounds fantastic. Let's try it. And
he
tried it, and it was a hit. And I gave him, I was like, you're the first one to try it, and tell me the truth. I'm not going to sell something that's not going to taste and you were born in Hawaii.
That's your thing in Hawaii. Everybody drinks POG.
Very popular.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gave him, and he's like, whoa, it tastes the same.
This is it.
You guys should do it. And we did, and it's still here. He doesn't work for us no more, but he comes, and he still gets that one.
Oh.
So, and we always thank him for
that. I feel we have to listen to what people want, because if it's always what we want, then it's kind of okay.
I mean, it worked in the beginning, at least.
But it's a lot of fun. Her ideas happen here. My ideas sometimes, I'll be drinking Thai tea, and I'm like, we should make Thai tea ice cream, or whatever.
Have you?
So
that's in our list.
I saw like a.
I love Thai tea too. So.
We just don't have room in the freezer, so you can see everything's full. Yeah.
That's our problem.
So we have to rotate stuff. And
or buy a new freezer.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a matter of like where do we display it. You know, figure out a way to display it better, and then maybe we can fit more stuff. But people are already overwhelmed when they come in. They've never been in. I don't know what to get. You got so much stuff, you know.
In Central Texas, do you have any competition?
There's plenty of competition.
Is there? Similar retail?
Mostly ice cream. Mostly handmade ice cream. There's like the big guys, of course, Baskin Robbins and those guys.
But there's no one doing exactly this, though,
no.
Right?
In Austin, yeah.
So, Popsicle, too?
Yeah.
They're smaller. They're more like the Mexican style. Mm-hmm. There's one in New Braunfels, too.
There's several in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, and I don't know if they're just being nice, but they're like, man, you kind of ruined the Popsicle experience. We have to come here now, you know? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm giving you a good product.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. But there is competition. I think the big ice cream names in Austin are going to be Amy's, a few others like Lick's, and there's a couple of good ones, very good ones.
So gourmet ice cream.
Very much so. And I mean...
They specify more on gourmet, like more outgoing flavors. I really want to keep it more like the traditional, like the old school.
They experiment more.
Yeah, they experiment more. Yeah. I have a few like that, but I want to keep it more original, old school flavors that people feel comfortable or they haven't had it in a while.
I think vanilla is a classic. In that it can be so boring. You never want to have vanilla again.
Yeah.
And then you get the, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where,
every time.
where it's like an addiction, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always in pursuit of the, oh, my God, vanilla.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
awesome. We'll go inside in a minute, and we'll see if we can.
Shock him. Yeah. I want him to try tahini for the first time. I was like, do you like michelada? He's like, I don't. I think it'll be good.
You'll either hate it or love it. Yeah. In between.
I hate it, and then I'll have more and more, or have like the candies, and I'm like, okay. There, it won me over. Real quick, what was the red velvet? How do you make that? Because I just made it for my stepdaughter's birthday, and that is like a cake.
Yeah.
How do you put that in popsicle form?
I bought the cake.
It was actual ice cream.
It was the ice cream, yeah. But I bought the cake, and I bought it from, can I say it, the name? I bought it in Costco. I used to work in Costco, so I know, in the bakery department, so I know the quality of their cakes and pastries. So I bought the cake there. I made my ice cream here, the base, everything, and I crumble. And what else did I put on? I even forgot. I haven't made it. I only make it like once a year. But I have the recipe, and I just crumble the cake, layer it, and I think I put also sweet condensed milk in there. But
Is that was? Oh my God! I keep thinking gordita, but that's not it. It says on there, on the little signs, what's the evaporated
gansito?
Yeah.
Super popular now.
So gansito, it's another Mexican pastry that it's been for decades, and. When I just layered the ice cream with chocolate, gansitos, people love it. And I recently just made the popsicle as well.
Yeah, people that don't know what gansito is, like she was saying, it's a Mexican pastry version of like a Twinkie, but covered in chocolate. And we keep a picture there. When people ask, what is this? I point to the picture.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, but then I also tell them it's...
Shredding the gnar.
I tell them it's ice cream and cake. So, they're like, oh, my two favorite things ever. So it's cake super popular. Yeah.
But so you have a picture of gansito, but you even have the La Rosa, the marzipan also.
Yeah.
So people like know that they've seen that somewhere. Right?
That one I'll describe to them as if you like peanut butter and you like ice cream, then here's your,
Because a lot of people ask for peanut butter ice cream, and I'm like, I have a mazapan, and it's very similar to it. They want to try it, and they fall in love, and that's what they get.
So that's another one that's very popular in the Hispanic community, but also people who like peanut butter, they're like, yep, that's what I want. To make Reese's, kind of got away from that and stuck with the marzipan.
Better twist.
More traditional.
Yeah, exactly. More traditional, but still appealing to the people who want that peanut butter or that Reese's Pieces.
Yes.
They'll be, oh, I don't know. I came here for this. And then to be able to convert them to, like, wait, just give it a chance. That's impressive.
We give them the option to put chocolate on top, and that kind of gives them a little bit of the Reese's Pieces.
The essence of it. I was going to ask, so you're talking about you have Hispanic customers that will, like, recognize, obviously, those ingredients, stuff like that. But you kind of not only are just more modern, but you can appeal to anyone who maybe doesn't have experience with palenterias or anything. So do you feel like you attract one crowd more than the other? Have you ever had any family or, like, people who are, like, really, like, only know popsicles from, like, that? You know, you're talking about the yellow and the pink in your logo and stuff. Do you ever have people that expect those yellow and pink walls that you're talking about, the more traditional thing?
I think we were explaining to Tom earlier, the goal was to appeal to all sides, you know. So Central Texas is not as diverse as places like the Bay Area, but we still get a pretty good diverse group coming through here, you know. We get a lot of Asians, whether they're from India or Vietnam or Philippines, just a lot, South America, and anybody that comes in. I don't know if this answers your question, but some of the places in Austin are designed to attract the Hispanic clientele. We kind of wanted to get away from that. We want to share everybody, and everybody can appreciate it. And then I've seen people bite into, like, a strawberry popsicle, and they're like, oh, my God, are those real seeds? Is that strawberry in there? I'm like, yeah, it's made here from scratch with real fruit. And they're like, oh, their mind just, you know, explodes.
We do see a little bit of Hispanic. Once they get in here, they feel a little bit uncomfortable because it's not their usual paleteria.
Yeah.
But once we start talking to them in Spanish, and they start to feel that they're welcome, and they kind of easy their...
ease up a little bit.
Yeah. But we get that a little bit, like, oh, wait. Like,
a little too clean. But then you show, like, no, it's okay.
Yeah. And we're like, hi, how are you? Yeah. And, like, we have flavors. We have gantito.
Yeah.
And they start to get a little bit more comfortable, and they come back, and now they know. Yeah.
Like, oh, you got to try this. Yeah. I think that's the best thing for us is word of mouth. We can advertise online all we want, but it's the same people in the community bringing families back. Like she's saying, same Hispanic customers that come in a little intimidated or uncomfortable eventually bring the rest of their family.
Come back, say, you ruined popsicles for me because they're so damn good. I was just going to say, I wanted to ask you one more thing. So do most of your employees speak Spanish? Was just a side thought. Does
my assistant, she's Spanish. We just hired one girl and she's bilingual.
A lot of them do. And the ones that are like, I'm okay with Spanish. Eventually, by the third, fourth month, they're like just...
They know.
They're speaking with the customers. And it's pretty
immersion.
Cool to see that, yeah.
We have a lady. She's been with us for 3 years, Leslie.
Her assistant manager.
She's Caucasian, and she's talking Spanish to our Hispanic.
Yeah.
She's like, ¿qué sabor?
¿Qué sabor? Spanish, you know, like... piña.
Gatito.
Yeah, fresa versus, you know, so she...
She's very good.
That's awesome.
And I think she already knew a lot of Spanish, but she kind of just...
Not the popsicle vocab. Had to perfect that.
Got to get with the popsicle lingo.
So you said you do catering, right? And then it had that whole. I think you could do the feminine touch, by the way, or like the wedding thing.
Yes, I don't mind.
It'd be a little different, also with the mad scientist in the kitchen. That definitely adds a flair.
He's bring good flavors to me. Which one? The Acapulco Gold was his idea.
It was my idea for the name too. I don't know if you know the origins of Acapulco.
Well, how about CBDs?
They're all over the place.
It's starting to become a thing. I think if we were in Austin, we would already be doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kyle's ready. I'm sure it might be, but
you
could be
get
seen
ready.
Outside eating.
Yeah, get them ready.
CBD, you know.
Yeah. That's it. That's an. It's. We've talked about it before, but we just want to get somebody that. That we trust that can get us a product and stuff like that, but it's been in our thoughts.
it's definitely something we've considered, but
especially with the reggae pop there.
Yeah, there you go. You have reggae regular and reggae
infused.
So you catering, but mostly weddings. And then you said it's not exactly an ice cream truck, DC ice cream looking van.
Oh, nice.
And with a fresh paint
job.
Retro. in van form, but like with ice cream. Would you ever do something like that, like the modern take on the ice cream truck or the Palanteria on the go, the Elotero?
I mean, honestly, I haven't even discussed this with Paulina, but
cliffhanger. You're like, what?
So what is she talking about?
What is it? Now what?
Hey.
Every time.
He's pulling up notes.
No, I'm going to show you our car. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. So it is kind of modern, but maybe not what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. So that's what pulls up the...
Yeah.
That's pretty traditional.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more modern than the ones that are being pushed around the street. Here it is more lighty.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get your keys. Sorry.
Yeah.
But so, wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
not,
a good shot. That's on your Instagram, huh?
Yes. So it's not so much like the ones you see on the street. Those are designed to go over curves and potholes. This is just more like kind of a pain
set
to get
it there.
Yeah, and just set it. But anyway, I think what I was going to say is I wouldn't mind exploring down the road the idea of an actual ice cream truck that goes to neighborhoods or events. Like, let's say you're having a church party, and then you're like, hey, can you guys come and park your truck outside?
A little music.
Or something,
He said reggae music.
Yeah.
Set them apart. But I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud, right? And it would be, like, not like a Ford Econo van or something. It'd just be something cooler than that, you know? Not just your traditional, you know, cut a hole in the side of a panel van.
With the stickers on the side.
Yeah, it'd be something that people would want to take pictures next to.
I could see that happening,
There's so many, like, once COVID is gone, Austin has so many festivals, whether it's music or whatever, you know? And why not just take that truck out there and just, you know... keep the brand growing.
You definitely have to buy larger processing facility.
Oh yeah. We're currently working on that. Behind us, you can't see it, but there's an empty space that
You could take that over.
We're in talks right now with the owners to take over. Yeah, to expand and just cut a hole in the wall and just make a big shop back there. Mainly for her to store, you know, products so we can grow.
Did you talk about the potential next location? I don't know if we got that on.
A little bit.
We want to explore either, what was it, distribution? Like, say, you know, you own a restaurant and then you want to carry a product, replace it with Baskin, whatever, whatever it is.
Well, that'd be more no-brainer, simpler model.
Than having an open-door store, Or like our financial advisor suggested, what about anything with cafeterias, like a retirement home?
Hospital, CDN.
I can get behind that a little bit more than having to employ people. I don't know if you've been hearing, but employing people in this pandemic is kind of hard right now.
Oh, really?
Preaching to the choir.
So.
Getting employed is a little difficult as
So it's kind of crazy times. I would much rather get like a delivery truck with like a freezing system deal and then just hit a bunch of different spots, you know, once or twice a week. That would be ideal. So we'd have to explore every avenue of growing the brand.
Do you guys have La Michoacana, the like popsicles in stores around here?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So you gotta jump. Place like a Airbnb that's really nice in a little touristy town called Wimberley. She likes to carry her products.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
Yeah, so her guests come in and it's really nice. And by the way,
And then they'll come here at the end of their trip too because they ran out.
Thank you guys for sharing.
Thank you.
Yes. So to learn more about your world, where would you direct somebody? Website or Facebook? What works the best for you for engagement?
We stay somewhat active on Facebook and Instagram. The website is more for people to like browse at flavors or contact us for catering or a little backstory on us. Instagram and Facebook, it's Lollipop Shop. Mm-hmm. And then the website is lollipopshop.com. LOLAPOPSHO. Julian Hernandez.
Paulina Hernandez.
Very cool. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Kyle, Texas.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.